The premiere of season 8 coverage of 90 Day Fiancé on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored today by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think that you may be depressed or you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp Online Counseling offers licensed professional therapists who are trained to listen to help with all sorts of issues that you may be facing. Of course, the people that we're going to be talking about on these shows have all sorts of various issues, and you may as well, including relationship conflicts and also things like anxiety, grief, and depression. It is 2020 after all, not to mention family conflicts, all sorts of LGBTQ matters and more. All you do is simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. I've tried it myself. It was very easy to do. You just enter in all your information, and they are going to get you matched up with somebody that they think is going to be a good fit for you, and you ultimately select a counselor that you think would be best. All you have to do is then schedule your secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages to communicate with your therapist at your convenience. Everything you share is confidential. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is an affordable option for our listeners. You'll get 10% off your first month with the promo code RHAP. Get started today at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. That's BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino back here, and I am so excited to start a brand new chapter here in my podcasting career, because I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but we do not have a Survivor season on currently right now. The Amazing Race is wrapping up. No Big Brother in sight, and I have been looking for new experiences to try out, and I have long wanted to talk about this show, which we are beginning to have some coverage here on Rob Has a Podcast. And I am joined by the 90 Day Fiancé master, of course. He has been covering 90 Day Fiancé on the Wrap-Ups feed for several months now, but he joins me as we are going to begin a maybe 90 day or beyond journey covering TLC's 90 Day Fiancé Season 8. Please welcome the great Pooya Zambakili. Pooya, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, Rob. To be known as an expert of something, the master of something, I don't know if 90 Day would have been first on my list, but I'm proud to wear that hat. And I'm very excited to talk with you about all this because, let me tell you, Season 8 started off goofy and just the way I like it. Okay. Silly and a little bit disastrous.
We're going to be talking about the two-hour premiere of TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I find that they make a lot of these episodes available on video on demand also, so you can easily track this episode down. Big hit show, 90 Day Fiancé. Pooya has been covering it for us and was so kind to contact me recently and said, hey, if you're interested, I know you said that you are a 90 Day Fiancé curious, and if you ever want to go for the full ride, because I watch, you know, episodes here and there, I get engrossed. I have a lot of things I want to say about these shows. Pooya said, hey, you want to come on with me while we're doing this season? Would love to. And so excited to be here, and I hope that you're excited as well. I'm talking to the audience, not to you, Pooya. I know you're excited. Oh, okay. The audience is excited to come along with us on this 90 Day Fiancé journey here in season number 8.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be ups and downs with the couples. It's gonna be all highs for
Hopefully
us.
We're not
just gonna be riding
us.
This up.
Yeah.
Nothing but fun here.
Yeah. All right. So, Pooya, very excited. We're going to do these podcasts on Mondays for everybody who wants to check out these episodes. And hopefully, we'll have enough fun that even if you aren't watching the show, we'll keep you posted on what's going on.
Yeah. And that's honestly some of my favorite podcasts are the ones where I'm not even watching the show, but the podcast is too good to pass up. So yes. I'm hoping we channel that energy. And that's exactly what we'll be delivering to you week in, week out on Mondays.
Okay. Puya, for anybody who's a newcomer into 90 Day Fiance or your coverage of it, I would love to know, like, was it a chicken or the egg thing for you that I know that you are very familiar with the K-1 visa process, but did you become interested in the show because you and Liana were going through that process, or was it that you had already been watching the show and it just so happened that then you ultimately did go through the process?
So the first time I had ever heard of the show was back during the Jordan Parhar day. Shout out to Jordan Parhar. He covered a couple, recaps with Haley Strong. Yeah. Over on the Happy Hour. So that was my first exposure to, but I was also an episode, podcast only guy. I didn't like check out the show or anything. And then we're going through this process. And then Liana ended up watching some 90 Day Fiance before the 90 Day, just because she was curious. Cause that show kind of encapsulated where we were at, where like the couples were meeting each other for the first time and like had not applied or anything. So she watched, she was like, I think you'd like it. Let's watch it together. I'm down to watch the season over. So we watched it together. And then after that, we just followed everything. We caught up with all of it, all the universes. It has a great Reddit presence, which Liana's a big Reddit person. So that helped out for her. But yeah, she brought it over and it was a good compliment to watch it and then be more confirmed in our relationship moving forward of like, oh yeah, these people are a hot mess. So we should get our approval and be fine because we are normal. So.
By the way, also, we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiance season number 8, but there is another 90 Day Fiance series that is airing concurrently, which Puya is going to continue to cover on the 90 Day Fiance wrap up.
Yes. So they've not really done a good job, Rob, of telling us what's going on with that show. So the finale was last week. However, usually with the 90 Day series, when a finale of a show happens, there's like two or three tell-all episodes where it's like a reunion with all the cast and everything. That's not been announced. And 90 Day Fiance Original, the one we're talking about, has taken over the slot on Sunday. So there's no news yet. If anything pops up, guaranteed, I will put another podcast out there covering the 90 Day Fiance the other way for y'all to make sure that you get that content as well.
Puya, could you plug the 90 Day Fiance Rehap-Up feed?
Absolutely. So if you're trying to find the 90 Day Fiance Wrap Up feed from here, you want to listen back to some of the stuff we've talked about, you can find that over on robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. So the number 9, the number 0, Day Fiance. Everything should be there that you need. You can also find that on Spotify. It's very easy to find the feed on Spotify as well. And yeah, anywhere else that you listen to a podcast, you should be able to track it down.
And we're going to post these episodes. This is going to be here in the RJP main feed and also in the 90 Day Fiance feed. So we always appreciate when you rate and leave a comment over on our podcast feeds, especially the one for 90 Day Fiance, to help people find the podcast here at the start of a new season. robswebsite.com/90dayfiance. All right. Puya, I'm so pumped up to talk about this. Four couples we spent time with here in the premiere.
Yes, four couples, two returning couples, two new couples. It was a good mix, a healthy mix.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And for the people who are have not been new or KNEW to or NEW to the 90 Day Fiance, the series will follow. I guess a total of 7 or 8 different couples over the course of their 90 day process as they are now on the clock. That's what the 90 days implies, to now get married as somebody is coming into the United States of America. And we're going to follow the journeys of a bunch of different couples. We got to meet 4 of them in the premiere.
That's right. We got to meet 4 of them. Typically what they do with 90 Day Fiance is that they'll follow 4 or 5. They'll leave like 2 in the background and those 2 will come back the next week and they'll have like bye weeks almost of like they're not going to have any footage and then they're featured in the next one. So as they go in and out with some of these people.
Yeah, I like the idea of the bye week. It's almost like when you watch like on when I used to watch Lost, it's like, all right, where they're dealing with these characters that are over here, but then these characters are off this week.
Yeah, it's like, all right, Charlie got a bye week. He's not playing this week. All right, we got Desmond today. Cool.
Yeah, we're just dealing with the people over here. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as far as just a quick, you know, if anyone doesn't know what the K-1 process is, it is essentially a form of application for immigrating to the United States under the promise of, when I arrive, I will be marrying my sponsor, my petitioner, aka my partner in crime, whoever that may be. So these are people coming into the United States with 90 days to wed the person that they came there with or for.
Do you need to be engaged to actually be there? Like, I feel like all these couples tend to have like a offshore engagement and then they end up coming in. Like, is that a formal part of the process?
So there's no, so basically you're supposed to, if you're getting this visa, it's implied that you are. There's no, like, they don't need to see a certificate of anything. It certainly helps, like, if you have a receipt for a ring or if you have, like, a wedding venue book. Basically, if it looks like you're gonna do it, that is the confirmation they need. So there's nothing solid, but you have to sign something, essentially, as the petitioner, you have to sign saying, hi, my name is, like, U.S. citizen blank, and I intend on marrying person blank within the 90-day period.
Okay. All right. Puya, so we have four couples that I'm really excited to discuss. The couple that the show opens with, that is Brandon and Julia. And does the show know that, like, okay, these are our stars? We're opening with these. This is our A-list couple.
Typically, Rob, the first couple they introduce us to is going to be the most odd job, probably, and then the most featured. I believe the season of 90 Day that you gave a look on, Big Ed was the featured person, first person out the gate. And you know exactly why Big Ed was involved. Yeah, typically it's the biggest hot mess of them all. They give us right up front and center.
They know what we're looking for, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The show's in on the, like, you know, why we like it. They know. Yeah.
Yeah. The stuff that makes the edit sometimes, you can tell this is content for memes and they know what we want, what we need, and they'll put it in there. They're in on the joke 1000%.
Puya, I've watched enough of the show that I feel like that there are categories of the couples. Has anybody, and again, this is me coming in as such a fresh meat to but, you know, I like to put, you know, we've done this a lot of with Survivor of like, okay, this person's the this person. To this, has anybody ever categorized like the, you know, eight types of couples that appear on 90 Day Fiance?
So I have not looked out for this content. I've not seen it. I feel like if we were to figure something out, we could definitely like the number one tier is like the biggest hot mess you could possibly ask for. It's the disaster couple. Then there's another tier, which is like you are just here for TV time. Then there's the, oh, we're actually rooting for you. How did this happen? So there's like a couple types you can probably
figure out. I feel like
out.
That it's sort of like that. I feel like there's a lot of categories of like where it's like, oh, he's old and weird, but has money, and she's young, and you know, in another, like, I feel like, or sometimes it's like she's old and odd and has money, and then he's a young hot guy from a different country, or like he's like a kind of a rube who's very innocent and doesn't realize that, and she seems like more of like a savvy operator from another country that's trying to come here. I feel like the those are the types of pairings that I feel like could be categorized.
Yeah, and those are definitely tropes you do see often. I feel like the old man with money, a young woman from somewhere in South Asia has happened quite a few times at this point. Also, you do have I'm saving myself for marriage, but then she's a dancer and like she's in the nightlife. Yeah, so we definitely have had that as well. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun. It's fun. Finding meeting the couples is sometimes the best part of some of them, but then it's just the way they start you off with it. It's like, well, I'm hooked now, so you got me.
But Puya, so you know a lot more about how these stories end, because I feel like I'm such a skeptic. I'm like, none of these couples are going to work. None of this is going to last. But they actually have like a pretty decent success ratio. Is that fair to say?
Relative, I mean, depends what you're saying success. I mean, on paper, they're still together, but are they like happy? We don't know.
Who is?
Right.
Besides Puya and Leon.
That, often, they're most of them for the most part work out, especially they have, you know, they have to funnel it into the other show, which is 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After, which follows them seasons after they've been together on the show. So you see a lot more of them together, but then obviously you do have some of them where they are literally broken up while the show is, you know, being shown to people.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that first couple, Brandon and Julia. All right, how do you want to do this? Because I'm shot out of the cannon. I'm raring to go.
So since we were recording earlier than, you know, we're recording early the night before where the premiere happened. We're recording. We didn't get a lot of questions. We got one question, which was like, any early faves? And this was from Jess Sterling. Yeah. And I was like, we don't need to answer this. I know whose favorite Rob is going to be. This is all you. You walk us through all your thoughts and introduce Brandon and Julia to the world.
Okay.
Here.
Well, I'm going to describe them to, because I'm just going to, you know, be talking generally to people who have not watched the show, but are sort of like, I don't know, should I check this out? And so sort of gonna paint the picture. Okay. Brandon is what, 27? Something like that. He's an exterminator. And also lives on his parents' farm. He is an only child of his parents, and he is a real mama's boy. They call him a baby boy, and his parents have a lot of influence on his life. And his parents are actually, you know, kind of comical. They really bounce back and forth off of each other. And they have, a lot of a hold over what Brandon gets to do for a 27-year-old. Brandon does not seem like he is his own man.
Brandon is most definitely not his own man or anybody else's own man. He is Ron and Betty's man. he is their son, and they control everything he does. So they also, the parents have a farm that he helps with before he goes to do, like, his extermination, but then they've got like a dog breeding thing going on.
I'm not really catch that.
Familiar. Yeah.
Catch that.
So they got dogs. We saw like something about him taking care of the dogs as well, but yeah, at some point they're going to expect him to run the family business. It's kind of the way it came off.
Yeah.
To me.
Eventually. Brandon has a friend who, like, I thought they always like yada yada how the people met, of like, it's like, oh yeah, then this person called me and then we met and then we were in love. Like, I feel like, wait, what happened? Like, I feel like they never really spend a lot of time on the how I sort of like ended up in this relationship with this person.
Yeah, so they don't do a good job of this all the time. Sometimes they nail it. Yeah. Most times they might miss it. But basically, the way they explained this to us was Brandon was video chatting with a friend of his who was at a club or something. And then, like,
in Russia.
He was shown footage of Natalie dancing. She's a go-go dancer in Russia. And then 6 hours later, his message to Natalie was, "You look like my future wife."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was working in a club, and she loves to dance. She just wants to dance. She is a professional dancer, not a stripper.
Mm-mm.
Don't get it twisted, mom and dad.
Well, very quick to the draw with mom being like, "Hey, I don't know if she was a call girl, if she's a prostitute." I was like, "Hey, she's just dancing. Just dancing.
She just loves to dance." Okay. Yeah. That. Mom has a lot of questions about what her background is.
Hearing the fact that she has been a go-go dancer, of course, it made us immediately be concerned. I hope it wasn't more. She wasn't a prostitute or call girl or something.
Yeah. No. We got it. Mom. You didn't need to name it.
Yeah.
Don't put a label on everything, Mom.
Yeah. One of the other tropes, right? We're going to talk about tropes on the show. A lot of the parents are very quick to judge these new coming people from other countries of like, whoa, 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 pump the brakes. And it's usually allegations like this that come out.
Yeah. I would be that friend that's, you know, we've talked about this before with we did a 90 Day Fiancé season. Was it, did we do season? No, we didn't do season 3, episode 7. I think we did the premiere of the last season. I think that's what we did with Hannah Shapiro.
Yeah, yeah, but on Renap. The Big Ed one? I think it was the Big Ed.
No, it wasn't Big Ed one. It was, I think, maybe it was like the, was it season 7? of 90
yes,
Day?
Yes, you know what? That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
So, but, yeah, Hannah is really into 90 Day, and we talked about the season premiere. It wasn't a season 3, episode 7, because I guess you want to meet the characters. And I had watched the first couple episodes from last season, but I would love to be the skeptical friend.
Yeah, you think you'd excel in that role?
Because I'm the skeptical of everything. Of like somebody is telling me like, hey, like I found this new pizza place that yeah, but it seems like very far away. First of all, what is this? You just found some place online that you like the pictures and now we're gonna start going there? Really?
Well, I feel like
did you really think this through?
So you come off to me as a thorough skeptic. Mm-hmm. Like if you're skeptical, mm-hmm. you're going to do your research and be like, listen, I Googled the thing. Like, based on what I've read, this is not looking good. A lot of these skeptics on this show, Rob, and some of the couples themselves don't seem like they like Googling. They don't really do the research. So I feel like you would excel, but you would be right if you had doubts.
I don't know about that. Don't ask the First Lady of Podcasting about that. but anyway, so... Yeah, we find out that Julia is coming. She's going to live at the farm. And then also, I thought that this was like kind of a curveball that she also has to work at the farm. Like, it's like, well, if she's going to come to the farm, we're putting her to work also. And Brady's like, I don't think she's going to really like that. I think she's more like a city lady.
She's going to have to earn her keep. Yeah, it's funny to me. Because so that we learned that they've met a couple times, you know, they had a trip to Iceland where he proposed in Iceland and then all the family met in France. So that was a thing that happened. But even though the family's met her and everything, I feel like it's very presumptive for them to be like, she's going to work, right? She knows she's going to have to do stuff. And Brandon being the dummy he is like, yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Brandon is seeming like he is not disclosing a lot of information to Julia. We learned some things about Julia that she does. She appears to be ill-tempered he's like, you know what? I'm just not going to throw any, surprises. Like she'll find out when she finds out a lot of these things, but, I'm just not gonna sort of like take a very non-confrontational approach here with, Julia.
Yeah. We'll Brandon's very much the, that's future Brandon's problem type of guy. So yeah, whatever happens, that's future Brandon, not me. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, it took him 6 months to get the K-1 process sorted. And for the most part, the more and more we learned about this family and the parents as we went on, the more and more it's obvious that the parents have expectations that he is not telling her. And I think she has expectations that he's not telling his parents. And it's just going to come to a head at some point.
Yeah. So she's coming in. And so mom and dad also decide like, hey, well, she can come to the house, but you two are not going to share a room. That is one thing. She's in this room and you're in this room and not under our roof are you going to be sharing a bedroom.
See, I'm all for like it's our house, our rules. But your son is 27.
Yeah.
Like that's six more than blackjack. Like at some point, you got to realize that you can't really be doing this. But also... it's hard to argue that when Brandon doesn't like it, but also is okay, like he's going along with it.
Like, yeah, well, my parents, they're just, you know, he was giving me actually that I think of it. He's kind of like George Michael Bluth from Arrested Development. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely see that. He seems like a mayonnaise guy for sure. I do think that the best part of this that we haven't even talked about, we've like lightly touched on, but this is one of those things that he's not disclosed to Julia. Julia's not going to be on board with this, but she's not going to know because I do think Brandon also gives off this vibe of like, this can easily get canceled at any minute. Like she's approved, but also she's probably has like a little bit of cold feet and like, this is a big decision. I don't want to like rock the boat. So I'm just going to not say this. And then when she's here, she's going to have to like tough it out.
Yeah. Well, once she's here, she's here. She's not going to just go back, so we'll just drop this grenade also on her. This was Brandon's parents getting Brandon set up in his new room.
Get your mattress this afternoon, get the bed set, and you have a big boy room now.
So what was his room before, Puya?
I don't know. I mean,
did
like,
he have a car
we found
bed?
Out.
Yeah.
car bed, you know, old TV games sitting around. No, I think that, well, the dad mentioned that he's had all this furniture since he was born. So to me, that's like, that's probably like he's grown now. He has a new TV stand. I don't know exactly the mechanics there, but, yeah, it's, this is very much that type of family though, where this is considered a big boy move for him at 27 to have new furniture.
There's also a weird part of this trip that's coming up. So they're going to go and pick her up from the airport, I guess, which is apparently the DC airport. Do you know where they live? Where's this?
I believe he's from Georgia.
Okay. Not really sure the logistics of, okay, so they're going to DC to go pick her up at the airport, but mom and dad wanted to come on the trip to go pick her up from the airport in exchange for that. This was a real quid pro quo from mom and dad. Okay. That they were going to pay for the flight in exchange for, we will all go pick her up from the airport and do a sightseeing trip around Washington, D.C. And on that trip, that Brandon and Julia will be allowed to have a hotel room together. They will not be forced into separate hotel rooms.
Yeah, you're a fantasy sports guy, Rob. Is this a fair trade? Who do you think wins this trade?
I feel like that Julia is not going to be the winner here.
She lost the trade
for Julia. And mom and dad, I don't know if they feel like, okay, well, like maybe that this is like a, let's get it all out of the system here before we get back not under our roof.
I feel like if that was the call, should they not be on this trip? The parents give me like FOMO vibes. Like they can't miss any situation. His mom was very much like, I have to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is important. It's like, yeah, but it's their moment, not your moment.
Yeah. They sort of did buy their way into this with, we're going to pay for the ticket.
Yeah. Which, like, I mean, I guess is a big deal considering that we're finding out that the two trips we mentioned, the Paris trip, the Iceland trip, the K-1 process itself, which can be lengthy and need money for all the stuff that you have to put together. He's essentially told us that he's in debt.
He's
now
in the hole. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the hole. So maybe a ticket was really like, oh, this is a load off my credit. Like, I'll be fine with this, maybe. Yeah,
that's the part of 90 Day Fiancé that always does make me sad when, like, one of the person that is, like, trying to bring the other person here feels like is being, like, bled out a little bit.
It's very tedious. It's a lot. Because, like, what they have to do pretty much is say, hey, I am going to be responsible for this person I'm bringing into the country financially and in every other way. And then you have to show proof of that. You have to show proof of, I'm making certain amount of money, I have certain amount put aside. And then if you can't afford the, like, the limit they've put in, you have to get a sponsor that would accept to do that. So, like, a family member or somebody like that who's, like, involved now. It's a lot of stuff you're putting in to, like, bring one person in.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, but I feel like there's often a scene where the person, like, has, like, some big reveal of, like, well, I've spent $39,000 in the last 2 months on this person. I hope he or she is happy.
Yeah, no, then that's definitely how it comes off. Usually it's either one of two. It's one of like, I've spent so much. And then it's the one that's like, oh, we're going to get married, but also I don't have money. And I haven't told her I don't have money. It's like, well, you're going to have a rough, rude awakening when you realize what the process actually is going to entail for you.
Okay. So, all right. Those are the plans for the trip to DC. That's why Brandon is not able to afford the plane ticket. But things take a turn here with Brandon and mom and dad, because you know, we have talked about mom and dad have some boundary issues already. Betty has a question that she has been waiting to know, and that the moment when the TLC camera crew has shown up, she's decided to spring this question on Brandon.
Just wondering,
what
do you know, she's on birth control by chance?
Okay. You know, question every 27-year-old and mom ought to have.
Yeah, definitely. It's that, and then after that it's what's her social security number, and that's the next step. Yeah, very bold question to ask. But that kind of, for me, was even further proof that, oh, Brandon's definitely more than just the mama's boy that he's been described as. They are a lot more involved than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Very involved. And Brandon has some interesting answers to Mom's question.
She's not. I mean, I'll be happy to take her over to the, you know, to the doctor when she gets here. She's willing to take a chance. Yeah. You know, I guess. I mean, you guys can do other things to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay. So the birth control storyline ends up being a big deal with Brandon and Julia. Mom is very concerned. Betty is very concerned about the birth control here. And Brandon, like, knee jerk, like, no, she will not. I'm telling you. It will not happen. She is not that. This is not her thing.
She's not into it, which lends insight to, oh, this has probably come up. And I mean, if we put a multiple choice of what happens next, I bet no one's going to get it, which makes me very excited. but the way she didn't finish her season, he's like, nope, it's not going to work, Mom.
No, I'm telling you. Okay.
Stop.
Well, all right. And so hold on. And for the people I feel like people are getting like, you know, the phones out, tweets incoming. Okay. Hold on. First off. All right. That, Julia, she can do whatever she wants. First off, pretty sure like Mom should not even be talking about this with Brandon. But between Brandon and Julia, she could do whatever she wants. She doesn't want to. Take any sort of pharmaceutical birth control. That she could do whatever she wants. Because the next logical question is going to be, all right, so Brandon, it's on you, player. It's on you, my man. Okay. And that should be fine. That should be
absolutely
fine.
Yeah.
All right. So then Dad is going to naturally ask the son about this.
I don't know if I really want to take on that kind of responsibility either.
That kind of responsibility?
Yeah. Birth control and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Yeah, he doesn't know if he wants to take on that kind of responsibility either. And Dad is like, what is wrong with you?
I look forward to the future where in movies, their couple is going to be like, did you bring responsibility with you? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I forgot the responsibility on the counter. Love that. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it because the whole birth control thing, it's none of his business. It's none of the mom's business, especially. But then, like you said, the ball's in your court.
But you know what? Now I'm starting to see why Ron and Betty have to be so involved, because I think that their son might be a moron. I think that he is at first I'm like, whoa, this is like a real invasion of privacy. But then I'm also like, oh, wait, you know what? That I think that Brandon is actually not capable of making any decisions for himself. And I do think that maybe this is another chicken or the egg type thing of like, Brandon is incapable of making any choices because Ron and Betty have actually been helicopter parents and have actually made every big decision for him. So he's incapable of actually like, I need to actually give some thought to this.
Yeah. Have they coddled him into a sense of stupidity or was he stupid? And then they're like, we got to coddle him. Like, there's no other option.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because this is curious. I've never heard anybody talk about this this way of like, I just don't know if like, prophylactic. I just don't know if if I can handle that kind of responsibility where. Gonna be a topic of conversation continuing.
What are you saying?
That I guess we're not being safe.
You're not.
Yeah. I guess you are not.
Mm-hmm. It did come off to me a little bit of like, you know what your parents are asking you, but you don't want to talk about it. So you're like using phrases that you wouldn't usually use.
Yeah.
So that kind of came off, but it was very clear with their response that they had no idea what he meant when he said responsibility. Mm-hmm. They had no idea.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. This was wild. It's the point where the 90 Day Fiancé producers even had to get involved and ask like follow-up questions like, Wait, what are you talking about here? Why can't you wear a condom? What is the problem here, Brandon? Is this coming from you?
There's nothing wrong with condoms, but they're definitely not as fun.
Yeah. Listen, Brandon. You know what's really not fun? Can I share some horror stories with you about what's not fun? Kids are really not fun, Brandon. Okay, you want to that? You think you're having fun now, Brandon?
Yeah, the joke's on you, Brandon.
Wait till you're watching Ryan's toy review on YouTube. Think that's gonna be fun?
You think you can't afford a plane ticket? You think you can afford buckets of slime, buddy? Nah.
Yeah.
Not today. Not with the pest control.
You're not ready for that kind of responsibility of birth control?
Oh, man. And like the way he said, no, she's not into it. I really thought the next thing was like, but yeah, you know, I'm responsible. Yeah, we've got this.
I got this.
Nope.
I got this. This is mom, dad, you don't have to worry about me. You're 27-year-old man child. I got this.
Yeah.
I
and
got
here's
this.
The thing, right? This is how much, Rob, he is under their control. I feel like, and I'm by no means condoning lying. Let's make that clear. Yeah. But I feel like your parents ask you something you don't really want to answer, and you're also trying to be alone with your fiance and not be in separate rooms. You're not this honest about this. So the fact that he was this honest, he doesn't know any better. Like he's definitely under with them all over. Like, yeah.
Even if he told us in confessional, like, hey, we actually, that there is no birth control happening, but you know, hey. YOLO. But at least like tell mom and dad here in this spot, like, hey, we need to get in the same room. I'm going to tell them whatever they want to hear.
Right. Like you'd think, I feel like that's the natural move. If you are Brandon and you don't like that your parents are not letting you stay in the same room and stuff. But again, I think the coddling and the stupidity and the combination, like he doesn't know better, Brandon. Yeah. He needs them.
Yeah, so
he really does.
Maybe he's more of a Buster Bluth.
It's certainly possible. Certainly possible.
Yeah. just as it pertains to this conversation, there's a moment later on in the episode where they're getting ready to go to the airport and mom is calling to Brandon.
Yeah.
Are you about wrapping things up?
I'm working on it.
No, he's not. Mom, he is actually not.
Not rapping, not double rapping, none of that.
Nothing.
None of that for Brandon.
Nothing. Okay. this whole scenario is wild. And Julia isn't even in the picture in this episode, Puya.
No, the last we hear from them, they're on the way to pick her up. So we're going to probably see them next week. I feel like they're one of the couples that they're not really going to have a bye week. There's no way.
No.
I imagine we're going
to
see them next week.
We need to stay with them and see see what is going on the whole way through. We do have one more beat with them of going to the airport. And we are privy to mom is going to make a phone call in the car with Brandon. She has called a local gynecologist's office.
Her own gynecologist, by the sounds of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's going to hook Betty up.
Yeah. So that was wild. Mm-hmm. On the route to DC, mm-hmm. this phone call happens. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, you know, I wanted to call you. I wanted to see if we can have a, because her thing is, oh, we're not being intrusive. We're giving her the opportunity to get consulted for this.
Yes.
As if this is not a conversation that happens between them and as if they don't speak about it because they're 27 and grown. Like this is definitely a thing they do already. But my favorite part of this, me saying that Brandon is a 27-year-old grown person.
I know where you're going.
He's sitting in the back seat rocking with a Nintendo Switch, ignoring all of this.
All right, I'm going to pretend my mom is not setting up a gynecologist appointment while I'm getting in some sweet Super Mario Maker time in. Let me work on my animal crossing farm.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he'd be good at the game.
Although he does work on a real farm. So I don't know. Is that might help him? I mean, he is proven to be an irresponsible person, but also he does have farming experience.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that balances each other out. But his whole reasoning, Rob, for not talking to his mom in that moment, like, hey, stop this, was, I don't think anything's going to come of this, so I'm not going to bother intruding. I was like, well, you wait till that car ride. I imagine this is like top three things the mom's going to say. Hey, how was the flight in? Have you heard of birth control?
Yep.
Like,
yeah. Good news. Brandon has shared with me about how you're not practicing safe intercourse. That the good news is I've made an appointment for you to speak with my gynecologist and her office. It's a consultation. So whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like the other thing, Rob, is why, when you know that they're unprotected, why is your go-to move not, hey, dummy, our son, just use condoms? Like, why are they not focusing on that more? Why are they focusing on her? It's wild.
The whole thing is insane. The whole thing is insane. And you got the sense from dad, who I believe dad, Ron, who I believe, what marriage is this for Ron? Ron has been married multiple times. It's half brother. Like, you would think that Ron would be like, listen, son, you know, I would, you know what? I would smash that Nintendo Switch if I was dad.
Yeah, I don't understand the Ron story. So, yeah, basically, Ron has been a part of a couple marriages, has kids from previous marriages, but I believe is Brandon's biological father,
yes,
based on.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was the last marriage, but I'm surprised. I'm surprised he's not like, is Ron not sitting Brandon down to have the birds and the bees talk? Do we think that Betty kind of took over that or what?
I don't know. Maybe the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that because Ron also seems like, hey, that this is future Ron's issue. Maybe I don't need to get us involved. Betty, I mean, she's doing her part. She's crossing some lines, but she's like, hey, that's how you got to get things done in this world, maybe.
Yeah. And to answer a question that we got from Nicole Horn, a.k.a. TikTok Nicole. Do we think Brandon's mom is going to be Debbie 2.0? So, Rob, there was another guy named Colt in a previous season. Yeah. Colt's mom, Debbie, was so involved in his relationship, in his marriage, she literally, anything she wanted would happen because she would will it into existence through her son. And I 100% think that this is the direction Betty's going to, because it's to the point where I think that Ron is almost like, what? You're not using protection? But then also it's like, Betty will handle this. I don't even need to involve myself. I'm just going to go watch TV in a bit. Like, I think that it's more so Betty in control, with Ron in the wings, like, still being in control, but not as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a wild scenario here with Ron and Betty and Brandon. Again, we haven't even gotten Julia there. Oh, there was one other last piece. So mom hangs up with the gynecologist's office, and then she asks another leading question, and that I loved the passive aggressiveness of which this question was being asked to Brandon. Of course, passive aggressiveness is my love language, so I my ears perk up when I hear something like this.
So I sure hope that when she arrives that she's in a good mood. We know that sometimes when she's tired, just like everybody, when you're tired, you can be grumpy and you can be not happy. And
so apparently there was an incident when the families got together in France. And I think that this incident has really scarred Brandon of sometimes Julia is in a not happy mood.
Yeah, I think Brandon is someone who he's mentioned he's not really been the dating type. He hasn't really had a long-term, you know, partner in any sense. His parents did sign him up for Farmers Tinder, which we did hear about at one point.
FarmersOnly.com, I believe, is the right?
Yeah.
That's the one?
Yeah, apparently he didn't get anything out of that, and they just kind of, like, yada-yada. I would have loved to see his profile and all that stuff, but I definitely think that because he seems like that, he's a very, like, I can't lose her. So whatever happened in France, whether it was big or small, the family wasn't a fan of it. He's not a fan of it. He doesn't want a repeat of that in any shape or form. So I'm very excited for a repeat of France to happen now, because I want to see how he deals with it. And I know that his parents aren't going to deal with it well at all.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I remember that time in France, and, you know, so I call her, she's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, she has good moods and bad moods, and I really don't want to see the bad mood of her again.
He is a hot mess. Because the other thing is, they asked him, I believe the producer asked him, what made you marry her? What made you choose to do this? And he said, there was no shot of her coming here outside the visa, so I'm taking a gamble. Mm-hmm. Which is like the worst reason you'd want to marry someone. It's like, oh, you know what? I want her to visit me, so I'm going to get married so she gets a visa to visit me. It's like, maybe you don't do that. Maybe that's not the move for you, Brandon.
I can't wait for Julia to show up. You have any predictions, Puya, of what it's going to be like when she shows up?
So let's set up where we're at with her before she shows up. She doesn't know that she's about to get hit with these birth control topics.
Does she know even that the parents are going to be there to pick her up at the airport?
I don't think she knows about the parents there. She doesn't know that they're going to be in separate rooms at the farm.
Does she know about the sightseeing in D.C. yet?
I sure hope so, because at the very least, she needs to know that. When you land, you should at least know what you're doing that night, and that shouldn't be a conversation you have at the airport, which another couple also did have a mistake on that with. But yeah, she doesn't know any of these things,
Does she know
Rob.
Basically she's going on like an eighth grade school trip to go and look at DC monuments? I feel like that this might not be the most exciting trip for Julia.
I'll tell you, also, when she's flying in from Russia, it's a long plane ride. Mm-hmm. You know, you're landing with hours of travel on you, hours of layover on you.
Right.
The last thing you want is to say hello to your future in-laws there. You're just trying to get that hug in with your partner and then move on. So this is just screaming yikes o'clock for me, and makes me more excited for episode two than anything.
Julia, are you ready to go see the Lincoln Memorial?
Oh man. And so we saw snow while Brandon was getting ready, so I'm assuming this is like in the winter at some point, so it's gonna be cold as well.
So just in terms of the time frame of this season, so do you feel like the season like started in sort of like January, February, and then is gonna run through COVID?
I think so, because the way the 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way happened was similar, where mid-season we started getting into the COVID timeline it was like around March. But also they have this thing they do where they don't, like, it's not like, oh, everyone's at March 9th. So the couples like jump around. So like we'll see a storyline where a couple is in COVID, someone still isn't. But if I'm betting on this, this is probably, I would say, somewhere in the December region it started, and then it's going to bleed over into like 2020.
How it started, how it's going.
And if it started like this for Brandon and Julia, oof, I do not want to see how it's going.
Yes.
But we'll find out.
Okay. All right. Anything else on Brandon and Julia you want to highlight?
Just this is going to be the poster for this season. They're going to be the poster couple. And I'm very keen on going through this journey, Rob, of meeting up every week and talking about, hey, so how did you feel about that
scene? I'm dying to know how this goes. Do these people have like big social media presences? Could I be following Brandon and Julia and Ron and Betty on any social media?
You certainly could.
Will
so
it
with
be
the,
spoiled
with the 90-
for me if I follow them on? Yes.
Yes, yes. So the one thing I don't really do on the Rahap Up is I avoid talking about Reddit or the social media unless it's like something that, oh, someone started an OnlyFans. Let's talk about it. Because like I don't want, because like the whole allure for us is let's find out where it goes.
Ron and Betty are on OnlyFans. My mind's going to be blown.
I'm telling you, that would be wouldn't be the most unlikely people you'd find. Like, there's been more on, like, why are they there? So I wouldn't
Uncle
be surprised.
Bo?
It's Serpa. Big Ed could be like the next one there. I'm telling you, from TikTok to OnlyFans, that's literally the natural next step for Big Ed. It really is.
I'm sorry,
for him.
I interrupted you. So we're not going to do any spoilers from the real life.
Yeah. So I think it's best to avoid it just so that we follow whatever journey they're giving us. And then it's good because it's like if we're rooting for someone and then we find out they're not together, that's sad. So I typically avoid it if I can as well. That being said, if you are keen on this and you want to go follow any of these, this is me talking to the audience. Usually their Instagram is where they're at.
Yeah.
I said Instagram is where they usually are, not really a Twitter presence for them. But it's mostly Instagram and a lot of the like the gossipy type accounts that I'll be talking about what's going on. It's mostly Instagram as well, unlike the other shows we follow that usually have a more bigger Twitter
presence. So when you say the gossipy type accounts, so like there's like reporters that are like on like reality Steves of 90 Day Fiancé?
Right, like the at 90 Day Cup of Tea account. Well, like, yeah, like something like that. It'll be like, okay, so I found, like, they'll go sleuthing through the social media accounts and they'll be like, these are screenshots from DMs that this person sent this person's, like, husband and yada, yada, yada. A lot of that goes on and they find it and they put it all in, like, one tight account. So you can find those accounts on Instagram as well.
Okay. Yeah. Who's your second favorite couple so far?
So it's interesting. The second favorite couple I would have to say is one of the returning couples for me.
Okay.
And we have two couples here. One that I cared not much for in their season. So we'll see. But it looks like they're going to have a bigger storyline. But I want to talk about Rebecca and Ziad next, if we may.
Okay. So first off, this sort of blew my mind of like, I'm watching this and I'm like, wait, is this show fake? I'm like one of the people that...
Skeptics.
That I'm like, wait, hold on. So wait, how do they have all this footage of him proposing? Like, this all happened before then? And would they recreate this? I was like, oh, you know what? I think that these are returnees.
Yeah, yeah. They have content from before. Obviously, like, you see the grainy videos and you're like, I know they submitted this to the show. But no, Rebecca and Ziad were on a whole season of 90 Day before the 90 Days. So where she went to Tunisia and met him. Rebecca is 49 years old, American. Ziad is a youngin with 22 years apart in age from her from Tunisia.
Okay. Rebecca works at Joella's Hot Chicken.
Yes, as a general manager. She now I think it came off to me like she's a franchisee. It's kind of the vibe I got at this point. I can't confirm nor deny because I did not go do the sleuthing on
her. I mean, but she talked about that she becoming manager was very important for her. So if
she did say general manager.
General manager?
So she's probably not the owner.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the big thing, Rob, is that she mentioned she was a private investigator. That's kind of when we met her first. She was in that realm. Yeah. And they had one of her friends who was also in the private investigating gig was trying to like dig up dirt on Ziad at the time.
Puya, can you just give us like the backstory? I feel like you've seen the prequel to Joella and Ziad. Yes.
Yeah. So, well, Joella the chicken
Ziad. I'm sorry. Rebecca. New to me. Yeah, I have the website open for Joella's Hot Chicken.
Oh, I see.
For Rebecca and Ziad.
Yeah, so the story with Rebecca is that she was married to a man from Morocco before meeting Ziad.
Which was husband number three for her.
Yeah. So it was about the same story where she was older than the Moroccan guy. And then he came to the U.S., but then it kind of turned out to be like a green card marriage. She left him. It was not a great marriage for her. So she leaves him, meets Ziad. And then when she meets Ziad at the time, I believe she was still, it's been a while since I've seen this scene, but I believe she was still married at the time or had just freshly gone to get divorced. No, you know what, Rob? She hadn't gotten divorced yet because when
this
they
the
slept together for the first time, his mind was blown that this is not, like, he was like done with this. Because as we've learned,
his mind was blown that they slept together, or his mind was blown that when she said
both. Yeah, probably both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would lean both.
Look at you, Rebecca.
Yeah, because the 22-year age difference, like, he's a youngin, we've learned, you know, conservative Muslim, and that definitely did play out. You've seen some of the scenes in the show where he was not happy with the clothes she was wearing.
Yeah.
It was a little too revealing.
At a club.
Yeah, he was not happy with someone hitting Rebecca with the male gaze. He did not like that. He's like a bit of a, it's weird, he's got two sides of him. He's like this, like, sensitive teddy bear type guy. I think it's the way he speaks, but then also he gets very strict and like he needs her not to do specific things. So, because we've seen couples, Rob, where the older woman is the alpha and is the one in control, they kind of have a back and forth where it's like she's really the alpha, but then there's moments where, you know, she's trying to nice him and like follow with him and he gets mad at stuff.
It seemed like that there was some issue over that he made a t-shirt with her face and she didn't like that picture.
Yeah. Rob, so this has happened. This is not the first time this has happened, but the whole I'm going to wear a picture of you at the airport. Yeah. So she was not, she was like, I would call this like a soft catfish, like an atfish or something, remove the sea or something, because she was filtering all the content, all the, yes. She had good lighting set up, like filtered the photos that she would send him to like hide her age a little bit. And like, you know, I think she was like insecure about it, but then he printed this photo on his t-shirt, shows up at the airport, still accepts her, loves her, which is great. You know, you love to see that. But he definitely was taken aback at, well, this has happened. But I want to give you a little bit of, you know, I'll give you like a history lesson. So there's a couple that I just talked about on the 90 Day the Other Way, Rob, where the relationship started with the man catfishing as a British businessman. And this man is from India.
Okay.
And then he came clean to Jenny, the person he was catfishing, and they are together. They've been together for like over 4 years now. Right? Right? Like, he came clean and she was like, you know what? You're still handsome. Because he was using a fake picture and everything.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, I mean, that's yeah. like the every catfisher's dream. That's like the storybook. That's like the Cyrano.
Yeah. That's like the Pixar movie for catfishing would have that, where it's like, oh, true love was there all along.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the photos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like there was a spell, and this is who I was, but then the spell has been reversed, and this is who I really am, and you love me anyway? Yeah.
And then with the proposal here with them, so we learned, you know, you saw that he proposed her in the desert. What they didn't tell you is that he like asked for money from her and then used that money to get the ring. Like it was complicated. So they're a lovely couple.
Of all the reasons you could borrow money from somebody. And then it's I borrowed the money from you to buy the winner. Like, look, he could have just like blown it all on, you know, partying and, doing like a guy's trip. That's a good use of money.
Yeah, definitely could have been a lot worse. There are couples in the past, in the, you know, 90 day past that have not used the money for such good things. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
but pretty much what they did a good job of giving you the flashback on them. And then, you know, there's the little bits and pieces here and there that we just showed.
Yeah, and there's some family complications also. Zed has a disapproving sister.
Mm-hmm. Little skeptical sister always a trope in
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like that. Is this uncommon that we have skeptics on both sides of the Rebecca and Zed relationship?
Yeah, typically, there usually is skepticism on both ends, but the American side will get highlighted because I think it's the more like, not acceptable, but it's the more like known side. You know, it's like, oh, it's a like usually the biggest skepticism is this is a green card marriage. This is why they're coming in. So it's very easy to put that in there. Whereas with the other side of things, usually depending on what the region is, it's more of a either cultural difference or like, oh, what Zed, like, for example, like, oh, Zed's like a Muslim and he's, you know, he's known, mm-hmm. he's only known our region. Why would he go there? Or, you know, it's if there's a big age difference, it's more of an age problem. But I do think for the most part, the American side is usually along the same lines of, is it a green card marriage question mark? Mm-hmm.
What is Zed's major issue here? She just, she doesn't like Rebecca.
It's she doesn't like Rebecca. I think a lot of the skepticism comes from the fact that the previous marriage and this marriage seem very similar. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there was not a lot of time in between the two entanglements. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's gotten the skepticism in the mind of the sister and like his family. And the age difference, I think, has touched on a little bit.
But what does the sister think? Like, this is just what she does. She just marries people.
Right, like, and that's the thing, right? It's like, I don't know her story completely, but it's like, is he just being used? Is this
for what?
She's just taking him away from us.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to let him go. Like, I don't know. I mean, he's never traveled outside of Tunisia before mm-hmm. this. So that's a thing we learned. So definitely, it could be a protective family not wanting their son, their brother, to like leave them.
Okay. We end up spending some time with Rebecca and her daughter. And the daughter's fiance, because I guess that Rebecca and Zed, to save some money, are going to potentially move in with the fiance. I'm sorry, with Rebecca's daughter and her fiance, Micah.
Yeah. So this is a thing that's going to happen because she said she didn't really find the apartment she wanted for her and Zed. So they're going to move in with the sister and the fiance, which I was like, this is not the move. Like, just stick out whatever apartment you had. I feel like that would have been a way better choice for you than to do this.
Yes. But the daughter, she seems helpful. The daughter's in her 20s, and she's like, is going to have Rebecca over to talk this through. And the daughter is being, like, I think quite hospitable and going to, like, open up her home to her mom. And she tells us in confessional, she's like, I'm not really excited about the idea of having my mom and her 20-something lover move in with me. But, you know, I'm willing to do it.
Right. Like, she's doing them a service, right? She, in her eyes, she's doing them a nice by letting them live with her and her fiance while all this is going down. So if there's any problems, which we find out that Ziad isn't too happy about Rebecca being in the same house as Mika, because Mika, the fiance, is an unmarried man, and that isn't a thing that is custom in Islam. So, and which I can, you know, as someone who comes from that side of the world and has a religion, definitely I have heard this be a problem for someone who's very devout and very conservative.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I wanted to know, like, I wasn't really clear, like, was this a reasonable request of, is it like, hey, like, no, I totally, like, from Ziad's, because we didn't hear it from Ziad's perspective, mm-hmm. where Ziad is like, look, like, I totally understand, but, like, look, as because of my religion, that this is a thing I can't do, or if that from Ziad's perspective, it's like, hey, I don't want you walking around in your pajamas in front of this. I don't know who that guy is, because we did see him get into a fight at the bar. So I wasn't sure mm-hmm. if this was something about Ziad was like, this was an unreasonable request, or if this is like Ziad is like, no, I know this seems a little bit like, I hate, yeah, you guys are opening up your home to us. I hate to be that guy, but so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, there's definitely obviously different levels of conservatism with any religion, but with regards to Islam, typically, especially if you're very conservative, it's the modesty is a big important thing. I've certainly been, you know, I've been to people's houses, like either extended family or like family friends, whatever, where this is very much a thing where it's like, oh, like I'm there. Therefore, like I know that like these three cousins are now not here. Mm-hmm. Like these three family members are not here because I, as a man, single man, am here. So it's definitely something that I have seen before. It's definitely something that some people do believe and some people do follow. Now, for me personally, when I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is not any stranger. This is literally her daughter's fiance. So I don't know what the beef is, but you know, to each their own.
That being said, Micah doesn't handle this great either.
Oh, not at all. so by no means am I advocating for Micah the quote
Micah,
he had here.
Micah's kind of, you know, is not super gracious about this whole request.
No. And like, I feel like he got offended probably by the implication here of why, like, he's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't think, because I think that Rebecca was 100% right where they were simplifying it. Because after Tiffany hears this request, she goes into the next room and she's like, yeah, so he doesn't want her walking around in pajamas in front of you. And I was like, well, that's not really, like, you know, there's a deeper reason. Like, that's his religion. Like, that's his beliefs. Like, we're not, like, you know, let's not sully his beliefs.
And this is maybe a telephone game between Ziad to Rebecca to Tiffany to Micah.
Yes. Yeah. It definitely, there were some misrepresentations going in. And then Micah truly giving us the one line impression that we needed of, well, he's going to be surrounded with more Christianity than Allah, which I'm like, well, Allah's God. That literally translates to God. So you're that's incorrect the way you're saying it. Well, whatever. But then we learned that, you know, he is a, well, what was the description of him? A blue Southern man from, you know, blue collar Southern man. And then Rebecca in confessional calls him, he has a little bit of caveman-ish to him.
Not great.
Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. As a content consumer, excited for this
We're
house
here for
of
it.
Four people
right.
coming
We're
forward.
Ready.
But yikes.
Right. So you have a complicated situation there. Now, does 90 Day Fiancé, I'm so interested in the process of, do they sort of like feel around like, oh, this is a pressure point. Hey, Rebecca, what if you moved in with your daughter and fiance. Would that be a good move? I think so. Well, like, maybe. If you did that, we definitely would get you on season 8.
I feel like I wouldn't be shocked, but we got to talk about, like, how much they get paid. So typically, for about 12 episodes-ish, they get paid close to, like, 15 grand. Because it's about, it comes to, like,
1.5.
Yeah, it comes to about, I think, a K or, like, between each, a K or 2K.
Or the total.
Per ep. No, only the American gets paid because, like, obviously they can. Whereas with the non-American, like, you can't really be working and stuff like that. So that complicates things. So only it gets paid to the American citizen. Okay. In the show.
Does TLC have any pull where it's like, hey, listen, this is looking like kind of a long shot, but if we do this show, the TLC has pull, it'll definitely go through? Because I feel like there are often people who are of means who are on the show who 15K isn't exactly going to move the needle. So does it help, like, in any way seal the deal?
Like, does the incentive, like, I will get greenlit to move if I do the show?
Yeah, like, does it help with the process at all of, like, getting approvals or anything like that?
That's an interesting question, Rob, because honestly, based on some of these couples, it's a little bit like, especially like someone like me who's gone through the process, I'm looking at this, I'm like, why did my process take nearly 2 years and, like, some of y'all get to go in 6 months? Like, it definitely does feel that way, but I would imagine not, right? I would imagine that doesn't help them. But also it very well could. I'm not really sure about the behind the scenes of it.
Because I don't really know, like, what's in it for everybody.
Right. Like, what's the gain here? I think the gain is notoriety. Sure. I think some of the couples come on because they'll get some exposure. A lot of these couples, Rob, end up on Cameo. So they definitely do make their coin through the social media money-making aspect.
But some of the people already have money. So I don't really understand. Like the guy from last season who was the wine entrepreneur who was bringing in the woman who I think was from Brazil. Like, that guy had plenty of money. And... But right. Like, what was it like? Did he just want to be like, hey, like, I'm on TV. Look at me. I'm cool that I have like a 20-year-old girlfriend.
Honestly, I do think so, Rob. I think some of these people, like, maybe they just want
really
that taste
it to
of
my
the limelight.
Of like, hey, look at me on TV with a 20-year-old girlfriend.
Right. It's it's pretty much like, let me show off my life, right? Like, oh, I've got this wine company going. I've got this whole like fortune. I've got the beautiful wife. Look at me living my life large at 65. Like, I think that's what it is. I think it's part of that. Like, I can't help myself. Like, let me do this. I also don't think it's going to be any sweat off my back. Like, they're following me, living my life for money, and I get to have the glory. So, and I get to be on TV. So I do think that's probably what it is.
Okay. Anything else about Rebecca and Zied?
Let's see. So they talked about how much money. So the way Rebecca phrased it was that this was an investment. She's like, I've invested $15,000 to $20,000. It's like, well, yes, you've invested in your love life. She mentioned that, if she had, so, cause like the daughter asked, like, why is she going through this again? And Rebecca says, if she had 90 days with her ex, the Moroccan man, she wouldn't have married him. So she also, a lot of these couples, Rob, they do talk about it as if it's a test. Like, it's not a sure thing that, oh, we're coming in to get married. Even though with the process, when you're applying, especially given the information you have to give and the proof you have to show, it's implied heavily that you are committed to doing this. But a lot of them use this as a testing ground, especially with the 90 days. So, like, let's see if I'm going to like this and I'm going to be okay with this.
Okay.
But I don't think there's much else here, Rob.
Okay, let's then, we'll talk about Mike and Natalie.
Yes, I think that's the natural next step before we finish off with probably one of the lightest couple of the night.
Boy, Mike and Natalie, they are also returnees from 90 Day the Other Way?
No, they are from, I believe, yes, sorry, they are from the last season of 90 Day the Other Way, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mike and Natalie is very interesting in the sense that actually, sorry, Rob, they're from season 7 of 90 Day Fiancé. So this should be the season that you've watched. But the fact that you didn't remember them, I also had to do my research to remember them.
I don't think that they were in they were new to me. They were not in the first couple episodes that I watched.
Yeah, usually not a great sign if they're not on the first episode of their wellness. But basically, their story can be summed up in the scenes we have seen where The big problems here are Natalie is a little bit more religious than he is, and our boy Mike here believes in a higher civilization.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, that this was one of the flashback scenes that we ended up seeing where Natalie's mom asked Mike about his religious beliefs of what exactly was his religion.
I believe more like in like a higher civilization, you know, mm-hmm. like aliens or something. Like there's something out there as old as the universe is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not great answer. And that if you're just listening to the podcast, I think that you're probably thinking like, oh, like Mike is really out there. But that was not at all like what his personality was. That like that seemed really out of left field that he answers the your religion question of I believe in a higher civilization, you know, like aliens.
I didn't even catch him stumbling on the word civilization till the drop right now. It's fascinating. Rob, what's more fascinating is the way they met. So we just talked about how we thought Natalie and Brandon was wild.
Yeah.
So the way that he met, Brandon Rebecca. And Julia yeah. were Natalie and Mike. So he met her through mutual friends. He was appointed the godfather to the same child that Natalie was appointed the godmother of.
Okay.
So his friend, he had a friend who had a Ukrainian wife, and she was friends with Natalie. And then they were kind of brought together. It was love at first sight, apparently. And then he saw a couple pictures of her. He texted her. He flew to Kiev, which this part now we do know. But they both have had previous marriages.
Mm-hmm.
They both went through divorces. He proposed to her in Paris in front of the Eiffel Tower. And then they had applied for the K-1 visa, which is why their timeline is a little bit rough. So they applied for that, but then they went through a lot of stuff during the show, a lot of hardship after that. Because she wants to have kids, number one.
Yes.
He pushed back on that because he's in debt. Then she's, you know, we heard she's vegetarian. She, I believe, vegan or vegan.
Vegan, yeah.
She wants him to adopt the lifestyle. He said vegan. I'm assuming she's vegetarian, but he misinterpreted. She wants him to take that lifestyle. And as we've learned, big 27-acre owning Mike doesn't seem too keen on that change of life to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, then he's the alien guy. She's the religion. So there's a lot of
but
things that are opposite.
But is he an alien guy? He did not strike me as alien guy.
I think he's a nothing guy. But then in the spur of the moment, trying to like come off as, hey, I believe in something, went the complete wrong direction. Because I thought when he said higher, he was going to say being. And then that's like, usually you say good enough, like that, you leave that.
Yeah, I'm spiritual, but not religious.
There we go. That's honestly the natural way to go. So the civilization and then saying aliens was a little bit off.
That was a little out of left field. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a nothing. I just think he's like, he's by the sounds of it, atheist.
Yeah.
Don't want to like assume. Mm-hmm. But
Natalie also seems a little bit prickly. She seems like that she has a little bit of a short fuse.
Yeah, they've gone through. So the big thing, Rob, with them, the big holdup, because Mike was all in. Natalie was like not all in. And then all this came to a head in a confession, which we did see on the episode. Do you love him or do you love Mike? And nope.
Yeah, that her answer was something along the lines of like, well, not yet, but maybe there are feelings that eventually could be love. And Mike thought that was not such a great answer.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I think, I don't know, like maybe I could love him, not at the moment, which is like really not what you want to hear, obviously, especially if.
Yeah. I have feelings that will grow to love, is what I have in my notes. Yeah.
Right. Not great. Not great.
Right. So, So, would you say that is, you have love seeds?
Seeds baby. Love seeds baby. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Seeds that will grow to love of feelings. Yeah. So that is a lot of what's going on with Mike and Natalie. Mike, he has the big ranch and he has some help around the farm. Uncle Bo, who was, comes back around to Uncle Bo. We get introduced to Mike's Uncle Bo, who helps out at the farm. He seems like a character. That Mike says something to Uncle Bo. What do you want to do today, Uncle Bo?
I want to go shoot an elk.
I want to go shoot an elk.
This sounds like the perfect person to be around Natalie.
Yes.
Given what we know about Natalie. I want to shoot an elk, Uncle Bo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems curious to me. Is there something in particular about an elk?
I don't know. Is it his preferred hunt, or like they just have access? I have no idea. No idea with mm-hmm. Uncle Bo shooting from the hip here, but just throwing this in our laps out of nowhere. What's interesting to me is that, so he's his uncle, he's the ranch hand, as he said.
Uncle Bo.
27 acres. You mentioned that this comes up again, which I was shocked this did. It seems like the one thing that was maybe a holdup for Natalie here was, what's the situation with Uncle Bo? How do you think Uncle Bo has his own shed on the ranch? Like, what's the scenario here?
Yeah, I mean, it's 27 acres. I got to think that, I mean, Uncle Bo seems more of like an outside relative than, you know, sort of like a house relative.
Yeah, I would assume so. I would assume so as well. So I was a little bit shocked by that with him.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit with Gary Barnage on the Tar Pit last week, that his dad lives with him, that his dad stays out in the guest house.
I see. And like, I feel like that's okay. That's fine to me. I feel like, especially again, 27 acres, that's a lot of acres. Like, that's a lot of place. And if you're the ranch hand, you're not really going to be around, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, this is kind of like the, would Julia be okay if Brandon's parents lived in a, you know, house on the plot of land that's like,
well,
a kilometer away?
Why,
probably not.
Why can't let's go back to Brandon and Julia. Why can't Brandon and Julia go out in the barn for a roll in the hay?
Hey, there's enough stuff going. He has to do his stuff, right? He's like, oh, I'll go show her how to like milk the cows or something.
Oh no.
I couldn't think of anything else off the top of my head. But you're totally right. They could do that. But again, Brandon doesn't seem like the sneaker.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a sneaker. I think he can't do it.
Yeah. He's too dumb. He would have to say to his parents, like, we're actually going to go be in the barn now for to fornicate. Wait, what? But yeah, Uncle Bo, I bet he has his own shack, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would assume so. But ultimately with them, Rob, it was very much a tumultuous relationship, obviously, to say the least.
Even she's a hothead, Natalie.
Yeah. And during the tell-all, she accused Mike of cheating. He denied it. And he, like, you know, he said that he's gonna prove himself to Natalie. He still has the ring. Yeah. Like, she gave the ring back.
Mike does not strike me as a cheater.
Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it to
doesn't
me
seem
either.
Like,
now
he's a player.
You think he's a player?
No, I do not. He does.
Oh, you do not think
strike
he's a player.
Me as a player. I am not getting that vibe from Mike.
I don't get that vibe either. He's they call him big. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
Big guy, but no, he seems like if he's not in this relationship, he's just doing ranch stuff.
Although,
I don't know what that means, but
I did think that he had some chemistry with the hairdresser. I thought the hairdresser, actually might have been a better partner for Mike. I thought that there was some sparks there.
I think the hairdresser's into it. I think Jane, the hairdresser, was definitely feeling the big Mike love for sure. And I think that to me, it came up from Mike's end, it came up more like, Mike has no one but Uncle Bo to talk to who talks about shooting elk. So he's really treating Jane like his therapist. He's like, we had problems. I'll tell you everything.
I was actually very interested in the Uncle Bo backstory because, where is Uncle Bo? Uncle Bo was in Seattle visiting his son. I wanted to hear more about this kid of Uncle Bo.
I need to meet Uncle Bo's son. We need to have interview with him. Mm-hmm. We need to see that side of life. Because I genuinely thought Uncle Bo was we're going to name him. He's there and we'll never see him again.
Yeah.
Now that he's a part of the story and he's definitely going to come in on the living chemistry of this storyline, I'm keen to learn more about Uncle Bo.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was so out of nowhere with Natalie having a problem with Uncle Bo. She's like, so are you there alone? He's like, and my uncle. It's like, well, where is he? Like, oh, he's not here. Like, well, is he coming back? Like, yeah, he lives here. It's like, well, I'm not going to be in a house with a stranger. It's like, well, it's not a stranger. It's my uncle. He's like, I'm not just going to kick him out on the street. Like, is that is? And she's like, oh, wait, you are? Like, no, no, I'm not.
I love that his line was, you're going to have to suffer a little bit if he's here. Like, what? Like, this is the, because like, you can tell, Rob, based on what we had seen in the previous season and now, he's definitely a lot less like in the chase of like, I need to win her back. It's a little bit like his feelings are still hurt and he doesn't know how to feel about it. I feel like old Mike would have lost his mind if Natalie's coming in. But now he's like not sure and he doesn't want to give anything up for her. Clearly, Uncle Bo is a non-negotiable.
Yeah. We don't know what Uncle Bo does with the elk when he gets them back. Maybe, you know, as Julia, who doesn't want to see any animals harmed, maybe this is a bigger issue than we're thinking.
Yeah, I'm very excited because, you know, Mike's whole thing was, well, why can't she have her vegan recipe and I'll have like a steak on the side? One of the aforementioned engineers of the past that we've talked about before, one of them, he was dating this girl from the minute we met him as freshmen, they met each other and she ended up, taking up a vegan lifestyle. And he literally, Rob, like he's one of those guys where he ate nothing. He was very picky. He ate like chicken nuggets and like pizza with no veggies. So now I know because I went to their wedding and they had a full vegan buffet that he is now vegan. So I'm curious if she's going to be okay with him doing the meat stuff or it's a big no-no.
Food is a big issue in relationships. Booyah, how much do you and Liana eat the same thing? Like, is it every night you eat the same thing?
So we're both very not picky.
Yeah.
So we definitely, if Liana's like, I want this specific thing, it's like, cool. Liana's probably a little bit more like, this doesn't have enough veggies in it. And I'm like, yeah, it has veggies. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But I'll put more veggies because you want it and I'll eat it. No problem. So it works out. It works out with us. We have good food simpatico.
Maybe one night a week, I'll eat the same thing as my wife.
Yeah, like you completely do your own thing.
I do my own thing. I am my own man. Yes. That's right.
When it comes to food, you're Beyonce.
She like it doesn't really bother her until like we get into a fight about something else, and it'll be like a tack on, like and you always have to do your eat your own. You can't just eat what everybody else eats. I'm like, I thought you didn't care, but it'll always be like a sidecar of like the thing that she's really mad at, and then that's annoying.
It's one of those, it's like the impulse buy at the checkout. It's like right there. It's like, well, this one's an easy one. I'm going to put this here. It's definitely like when, when you're younger and it's like, you're like, you got a D. It's because you were on your, like, it's because, you know, you're on your phone that whole time. It's like, wait, that has nothing to do with this.
It's an impulse buy. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you got to like, okay, I'm right here. You know what? I'm going to throw it in here right now. Now is the time.
Yeah. So,
oh, man.
What about would Mike be able to, eat a steak outside the house?
Yeah, maybe it's like meat products cannot be in the house. Can't have, if you have a freezer or a fridge in Uncle Bo's like shack, you can get it from there, cook it there, eat it there. Just don't bring the products into the house proper.
Maybe it's like if you love me, then you should give it up. I don't want you to have it.
I do think that's going to be the direction it heads, is what I'm guessing. But I'm interested because I feel like old Mike might have considered it. It seems like new Mike is a little bit like, Natalie has to win me back. And Natalie's a little bit like, are you going to be nice to me? Mm-hmm. Promise me you're going to be nice. Like that whole exchange is like, will you be nice to me? Yeah. Will you be nice to me? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you promise that?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not feeling
they're
too
definitely,
great about this.
Yeah. They're very broken at where we're meeting them again. They're very much like both been hurt. It seems like because they had applied for the visa before all this stuff happened. So her getting the visa now is very much like, oh, damn, we are in the middle of this fight. But we might not get this visa again. We might as well roll the dice. Mm-hmm. That's very much where they're at right now.
All right. Anything else on Mike and Natalie?
No, I did want to say, because like Mike was talking about it, about how, because I believe Natalie has like, what, 20 days to get there. So they were talking about how that doesn't really make sense. But I can say that when the visa gets issued, that's not necessarily it's not like from the minute you get the visa in your hand, you have the however many months to do this. It could have been on a delay. Something like that could have happened. Cause for example, when I got mine, I had, I think 4 months on it, which I'm supposed to have 6, but I had 4 months. So it definitely is one of those things where like it could get, less time from the, you're not necessarily guaranteed like the full 6 months But 20 Days is a little peculiar, but that's, I just want to throw that out there as a piece of trivia.
Okay. And then let's talk about Jovi and Yara.
Yes. Rob, what were your thoughts on meeting young Jovi for the first time?
So I felt like going in, I felt like that this was probably the couple that I felt like had the best shot at success, that it seems mm-hmm. like that this seems like a sort of like a reasonable story of what? How did they meet?
So Jovi and Yara met. Let me quickly pull my notes up here. They met up in Budapest for the first time.
All right, so they met in person.
Yeah, because he travels. He's like with his job. He has you know, a couple weeks on off work. When he was off, he would travel, and he's big. Like, he's been to 25 countries.
So
he
met her and they went on a bunch of vacations together, and it seemed like that. Okay, you know, he's a young guy. She's a young woman. It seemed like, okay, this seems like that there's, you know, usually what I look for where I feel like that there's problems or is I feel like that like one person just has like way too much power in the relationship of like this person has like all the money and this person is a poor person from somewhere else. And I feel like mm-hmm. this is very like very weird. Like it seems like these two people feel like that they're like in the same league here.
Yeah, very much in the same. To me, they seem like they're the more balanced of the four couples we've mm-hmm. met tonight on this episode. And I do think that just by everything we looked at, it started off looking like, okay, they seem like they're kind of made for each other. It kind of adds up. Yeah. All these, like, the ones and twos are adding up to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So they end up going on a bunch of vacations together, but then she became pregnant. I don't know which partner was supposed to be the, you know, bearing that responsibility, or maybe they were just being all Brandon about it, and there was a pregnancy that he proposed underwater. I never saw that move before, Puya.
I hadn't either, and I couldn't tell, but was she pregnant at the time? Because someone asked the question of, like, is that good for, you know, if you're pregnant to do that? And obviously no, but I couldn't tell. I'd have to go back and look at the footage.
I've never done that sort of research.
Yeah. I'd never seen an underwater proposal before.
The underwater scuba proposal is like kind mm-hmm. of a weird move, because I feel like that you can't really talk to the other person. You can get down on one knee, but it's sort of like, like she like gives like a thumbs up,
right? Like, how does she, I mean, obviously based on context, if he's on one knee, ring out, like, you get it, but then she has to thumbs up him. She has to, right? It's like either like two thumbs up, one thumbs up.
I'd be so afraid I'd drop the ring and or like a float away and a fish would eat it.
And that's the scene I want to see, where the ring pops out and is like going up and he has to like quickly start like snatching at it. What if she says no? Is she gonna like do like maybe like do the middle thing, like
thumbs down would be, that's aggressive.
Yeah, or like if she just like reaches out and like says get up, like pull him up, like hey, mm-hmm. stop, you're
get
being ridiculous
here, you.
I want that footage. I wonder if there's like a compilation out there of like underwater rejections. That would be very fun.
Underwater proposal rejections. Yeah, I don't know. But very sad story. Then they lost the baby. But then Jovi was like, well, I don't know. Should I go through with this anyway? He said, yes, I should.
Yeah, I do think this part where he was like, oh, I was starting to get a cold feet, like, should I even go through it? And earlier when he said that he thought she got pregnant to trap him.
Yeah,
like, you had us in the first half. I really thought everything was nice, and I got a little bit concerned with Jovi mm-hmm. here.
Yeah. What do we make of Jovi?
Jovi very much to me yells like, I party all the time. Like,
yeah. I think that comes up several times. I think that his friends literally say that to him. Like, Jovi, you party all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and then when the first scene we see him, he like opens the fridge, like, ah, only two beers. And it's clearly like daytime out. And I don't judge, do you? But to be bummed that there's two beers when the fridge is full of beverages, like, I'm not mad if I've got a stock full of like juice or Gatorade or Coke or Pepsi. Sure. I'm in. Like, I'm fine with Puya, that.
What do you think? Is Jovi a nickname or is that a given name?
I've never heard Jovi. Obviously, as Big Brother people, we know Ovi is a name.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jovi, is it short? Bon Jovi is a thing. I don't know.
I don't know how big Bon Jovi is in the French Quarter.
That's right. I don't know. He's from the Bayou, and he always wanted to live in a big city. He lives in New Orleans now, and he loves everything about it.
Ask Liana, how big is Bon Jovi in New Orleans?
I'll come back with that answer next episode, I promise. I'll ask about Bon Jovi and his implications in the on Bourbon Street.
Yes, because I believe that Bon is a French word.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. What does Jovi mean? Does Jovi have a definition here on the internet? So the definition is a boy's name of Latin origin. Oh, there we go. So it is a name. It is a name.
Okay.
And it means father of the sky.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, so Bon Jovi is a good father of the sky.
There you go. It's a good father. I mean, there you go. That's good. That's an endorsement if you ever needed one. So, of course, I'm ready. My name literally says good father of the sky. Like, I'm set. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jovi is going to be visited by Sarah and Klein, who come over with a baby. That Klein is Jovi's buddy. He's going to just sit back and hold the baby while Sarah is going to really give him the third degree.
Yeah, because the whole thing
is that degree? Is that the degree you get, or is it the fifth degree? You plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth degree. Yeah. I think it's the third degree. I love that the whole thing with him meeting up with them is I need a TV. So I'm going to get the TV ahead of meeting up Yara coming in. I was like, is that important? Is she going to be like, oh, you have a TV? Perfect. Like, does he have cable and he needs a TV? Or is the TV just for like bigger screen purposes? I wasn't quite sure. I was very intrigued on the TV for absolutely no reason.
He's having a Super Bowl party.
Oh, you know what? That makes sense. Yeah. Super Bowl, if she's like, you know what, I'll come there, but I need to be able to watch The Bachelor. Like, can you hook that up? And he's like, I'll get it set up.
So they're asking him, like, they ask him, like, point blank, like, hey, you know, you can't have all those stripper friends anymore if you get engaged. And I wasn't sure if they were, like, sort of, like, ribbing him or if he legit has friends who are exotic dancers.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if like it sounds like Jovi's a well-traveled guy, but he seems outgoing, right? He's got to be if he's traveling alone and meeting up with people through
apps. Party guy.
So,
sure.
Right, exactly. So he must have met people, must have made friends with people who are in the lifestyle as well or are in the lifestyle but on like the working side of it. So that's probably a thing that happens. I think everything that the friends were saying this whole time was, hey, so just so you know, you're going to have to make some adjustments on the way you are because when you end up in a commitment, both sides have to change a little bit. And this is the change that is going to be asked of you. Just know that it's coming.
We see Jovi go visit his mom at one point. Mom was not as the classic disapproving mom of 90 Day Fiancé, more of just like mildly concerned mom.
Yeah, just the very, very smooth and lighter than like the other moms we had met with, you know, obviously Brandon's mom being like the poster for the episode. I love the scene where he's cooking and he's like, can you set a timer? She's like, you don't need a timer. Just look at it. You'll know when it's cooked. I was like, oh, mom is old school. Mom doesn't even want you to mess with a timer. But no, her big thing was just like, you know, she expected him to marry a Southern girl and she Googled Ukrainian women and all they want to do is come to the USA for the green card. And I was like, okay, mom, like, that's an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gwen.
It does seem as though the Ukraine is featured prominently on the 90 Day Fiancé.
It's like a late surge. The last, like, three or four seasons, there's been a lot more storylines coming out of the Ukraine,
Ukraine
I feel like.
Not weak.
No, the Ukraine game's strong, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that deep fryer that was outside. What'd you make of that, Puya? You like that?
I like that. I mean, Liana talked about deep frying a turkey. It was in a family call with her family. And I was like, listen, that sounds delicious, but do I want to be involved with a deep frying turkey? No, because it looks like that's a lot of commitment. Like something goes wrong, that whole thing's on fire. Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be a part of that.
But yeah, the outdoor deep fryer to me, it's like, boy, that boy, less mess. If you're going to deep fry outside, wow, well, that's the way to go. That was a game changer.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great argument for him to make when this would have been a great argument for Mike. Should Natalie be like, I don't want you to be eating that. So he's like, well, listen, I'll get a deep fryer for the outside. We'll do it outside. It's no mess. I feel like that's a decent argument to make there.
What were they having?
I couldn't tell. Was it shrimp?
Was it shrimp? I thought it looked more like I thought it was sort of like some sort of fish. But not sure.
Oh, you know what? Fish would probably make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
would make more sense for him. Yeah. And then all this, we haven't talked much about Yara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to meet Yara. The things we find out about Yara ahead of Jovi picking her up is she said, you're buying flowers or don't come to the airport. That was one requirement that she had.
Yeah. She seemed a little bit like she was going to come in and she was going to also be difficult also.
Yeah, well, like he said that Yara's high maintenance, and then he said he has zero woman stuff, zero potpourri, which, Rob, I do know that you've talked about this on a recent podcast, that it's not a thing that really is around anymore. I love that his assumption is all women love potpourri. Like, what kind of, like, really, like, that's the thing you're saying? Like, I feel like, I don't know. I don't know about Jovi's generalizations here. Did not love that. Although, Jovi's mom, when he was on the way to the airport, being like, hey, send me pictures. My parents do that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you want pictures of? I'm at home all the time right now. Like, you want just a selfie? Oh, having coffee Monday morning. Like, I don't have much to offer you in the photo department. Mm-hmm. So the push for photos.
That's sweet. Your parents want selfies.
It is, but I'm also like, I don't know what to give. You know, it's like, I don't know what to give them. If I'm going out doing something and they want selfies, I'm like, okay, I know what they want. They want a little bit of the scenery. But if they just want like a daily selfie.
They want to see their baby that, look, enjoy it. If anything that I might get from my mom, send me pictures of the kids.
You're not even the subject anymore. I'm you're the messenger.
Yeah.
You're the selfie funnel.
Right.
Okay. Then maybe, Rob, I'm going to do
selfies now. Yeah.
All right. So my challenges for this week is ask Liana about Bon Jovi in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try and send a selfie to them. Let's start soft. Let's go three times this week.
The best I get is my kids ask me to take a picture of myself so that they can mark it up and deface my photo on my phone.
Sorry. So they'll take the photo and like they draw on it on the phone?
Yeah. Like, here's a picture of me. And then let's edit, mark up. And now let's paint on my face. And let me turn you into a horrible creature.
Is this equal opportunity? Like, do they also ask for Nicole's photos or is this just a Rob operation?
No.
It's just Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to Dad, I need a picture of you.
It's like, I feel like the first time you were flattered. Now you're just.
No, it's like, and then upset. Also, could you show me again how to, so I could paint on your face?
Oh, they make you do it with them? Like, hey, help me deface you.
Yeah. Like- yeah. Okay.
All right, I have a newfound appreciation for the selfie request now. Definitely, definitely.
Yesterday, actually, also then Nicole, she set up like a backdrop for my kids to take a picture. The kids go take a picture with Santa, and then she we took a picture in front of it, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm gonna turn around and kiss Santa while you're in the picture," and she's like, "Oh, okay, now tweet that out." I said, "Oh no." That look, I'm not going to put out on my own social media a picture of my wife turning around and kissing Santa Claus, and I'm just cool with it. Okay, I'm not gonna do that. I know what the comments are gonna say, and I'm not about that.
Yeah, the comments will come after. I think you made the right. I would do the exact same as well. I'd be like,
she's like, no, do it.
I'm not gonna.
She's, I'm like, no. And she's like, well, send it to me, then I'll do it. How about no? Also.
You just don't want this on the internet. If I think for right for reasons, because getting added and getting replied to are the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the notifications either way. So I think you made the right call there.
Okay. Well, back to Yara real quick. Game of Thrones namesake in the episode after Mike's cat, Arya.
Arya the cat.
So here's Yara. We didn't really see a lot from her. There was a one thing she said that made me sort of out on Yara.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. They asked her about, why are you with Jovi? Oh. What do you see in Jovi? She says, he has a good body. I mean, not now, but before. I thought that was kind of harsh on Jovi.
We've definitely had couples who, over time, because we've seen them on multiple seasons, like where the guy has definitely like put on pounds. But I didn't think Jovi was fine.
Yeah, I mean, how much weight could Jovi have gained? 10 pounds?
I don't know. I mean, when we saw the pictures, it wasn't like, oh, this is the same guy. Like, that's wild. I didn't think that. So I was very shocked at that. Also shocked that that was the first thing. Like, if someone's asking me, what's the thing you like most? I will go for something that I definitively like, not something that I'm shaky on at the start. That's not a good look. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what part of the breakfast did you like? Oh, I loved the orange slice, but even that was a little bit done. It's like, well, mm-hmm. then the breakfast wasn't good.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what's the longest travel time you've had with like flights and stuff?
Yeah, I really have not done a super long. Oh, actually, they're probably going to Survivor the Amazon, I think, was probably the longest, where that was because we talk about how long Yara's flight. And look, I totally get, I think I would be completely with Yara on this one. I'd like, I do a 30 hour flight. I do not want to go out and see the sights of New Orleans that night. Okay, give me a week to rebound from that. But I think
a week?
I don't know. A while. Like I'm
that's
not gonna.
Fair.
I don't look. I'm not like Akiva. I'm not a good flyer. You know, I cannot.
not many can be.
I'm not gonna just pass out and not have to pee for 11 hours. You know that I'm gonna be. Sleep. 5 minutes here or there. But probably Survivor the Amazon. We went from Miami to Sao Paulo to Manaus, but there was like long stretches where we were like off the plane and just like sitting around.
Yeah, if Akiva was on next, one of his Chiron things would read good flyer.
Good flyer.
It does seem like that.
Yeah.
The longest
money,
I've
good
had
flyer. Listen to every
exactly
album. Right.
I've had a total travel time of about 24 hours traveling to and from the UAE, which is my the home country. Where I was born.
Yes.
Because like, and for me, it was because it was two flights and there was usually about the equivalent of a flight's time of a layover. So it'd be from like Canada to Switzerland and then 6 hours there and then another 8 hour flight to Dubai. So I'd be spent because also I'm not about to sleep because I'm just paranoid. I don't want to lose my stuff. You know, like the biggest horror story to me is, oh, I lost my passport somewhere. What am I going to do now? So I stay awake the whole time and then I try and sleep
on
the plane.
Right.
Exactly. Got to get those buttons and everything. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I definitely was with her. So because Jovi, and this is where we realize, okay, Jovi is definitely about the party life. He is so excited to make her go home, change, and then take her out to Bourbon Street night one, minute
and
one.
And Bourbon Street is not like, oh, let's just go have a beer.
No, it doesn't seem like that at all. It's like, it's straight up like a party.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I feel like 30 hours, man, like you think this is going to be the way to do it? I feel like if anything, if Bourbon Street is his baby and he wants her to be approving of his baby, then the wrong thing to do is take her out that night. If anything, it should be the other way around. If she's keen, he should be like, let's rest and then we'll go some other time.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. She also kind of low key calls Jovi cheap. to make so many connections to get there. He says that no, he's just smart.
That is the classic. If someone says you're cheap, you're like, no, I'm either like being smart or I'm safe. I'm doing the right call, which like totally like with my flight and everything, I went economy and we went with the cheaper option because I was like, you know what? This is looking like quite a bit of money. I don't want you to like spend this much, especially if I'm going to be flying. I feel like nowadays with the first classes and the business class, I've never rode them, but they look far more comfortable. But I'm also like, you know what? It's about like, it's a small trip, I'd rather not spend like four times the amount to like be comfortable in the air. Mm-hmm. But not everyone's built like that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Puya, anything else we want to say about Jovi and Yara?
Well, we can quickly talk about, you know, at the end of the first episode of every 90 Day season, they don't give you a next time
Super
on. They're
tease.
Like, big picture, what's going to happen? There's really one recurring storyline with them that I'm seeing, and it's Yara versus Jovi's drinking habits.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much where we're going to be focused on with them. So I'm curious to see how that works out for them. I am excited to see Yara and him in this apartment that he says has zero woman stuff. So I feel like Jovi's going to come off very insensitive. Yara's going to come off very short-tempered, and the combination is going to be fireworks.
Okay. That's what we're here for.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. There's no one here in the first four where I'm like, this is going to be a calm, cool river. This is all so far going to be very much tumultuous, and I'm very here for all of it.
I loved it. I loved the show. That I love the gossip. I love getting to talk about these people. And this was so much fun.
Very fun.
Yes.
Very fun.
Yeah. I appreciate you, Puya. You're like the Mike, and I'm like the Uncle Bo. And I'm just so happy that you're having me here at your house. I hope that there won't be like some sort of a Natalie situation where it's like, is Rob still here? When is he leaving?
Yeah, who's going to come after me and be like, who's my Jane that's going to talk to him and be like, are you sure about all this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, maybe Uncle Bo needs to go. No, Rob, I mean, honestly, it's an honor to get to do this with you. You know, this is absolutely wild that we're going to be co-piloting a season of a show together. But I think we're in for a fun time. It's relaxing. This is kind of like that sweet spot for you where it's kind of folding laundry, but it's exciting enough that you're going to want to watch it while folding laundry. So it's a win-win, and getting to talk about it is just fun times.
Yeah,
so.
I got
to
get Nicole watching this with me also.
Oh,
get her takes on all of this. So this is great. And we'll have guests along the way too.
Absolutely. This is a journey that's going to have guests on it as well. The Hot Mess Express always has room for more people. There's always more compartments open. And I'm excited to see who gets on the train with us.
Have you ever interviewed anybody from 90 Day Fiancé?
I have not.
Yes.
I have not.
Okay.
Well, that would be fascinating.
Would you be excited for that if we could find somebody from the show?
Absolutely. Okay. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm not teasing that we do have somebody. I'm just saying I'm interested to know if that's it. Oh, because sometimes it's like, yeah, I wouldn't have anything to ask this person if I spoke to them.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued because depending on who it is, there would definitely be questions about their time on the show, maybe behind the scenes questions, or just getting some other takes. Because the thing 90 Day does now, Rob, is a lot of their shows have a complimentary show with them called Pillow Talk, which is it's essentially old, like other couples that were on the show in some capacity before watching the latest episodes of 90 Day and giving their commentary. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a react channel type of situation where they're on a couch, they're on a bed depending, and they're passing commentary on these couples. So definitely this is something
I'd be
interested in.
I'd like to see the setup for that.
Yeah. It's pretty relaxed.
I am also very intrigued by everybody's different like teleconferencing setup. Like some people are just going to be on the phone. Some people got the iPad. That I like. Mike was going through the trouble of like, all right, let me get my HDMI set up to my laptop. And then I'm going to do, extend my desktop over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike definitely had put her on the big screen, which I've thought about, but then
the
also it's hard
Enterprise.
Because you got to move your camera then to the TV because then you're looking here, but your camera's like here looking at your neck.
Believe
me,
I know.
Yeah.
That's like,
but a lot of them do. It's very clear. Because, like, obviously, you've been doing this for a long time, doing stuff over the internet, talking to people. So, looking at it, you can tell that they're all using Skype still, which is like, how is this show using Skype? How are you not the first people to adapt?
That's what Skype needed of to bring back Skype. They got the deal with 90 Day Fiancé.
The 90 Day Search, that's right. Yeah, it's still, they're all still using Skype.
I think we'll see people make the switch to Zoom as the pandemic hits.
I would not be mad at seeing the Zoom change. I would be very okay with that. I think it offers more. I want to find out who's the first person to use a Zoom background.
That's right.
In one
I was
going to
ask you that. Oh, and if somebody is doing a Zoom background that's different than their real house, is there any like Zoom background catfishing of like, hey, I'm going to go on a video call, but I'm going to put like this like mansion behind me. And then when they come, like, I have something to tell you, like, this is not my real background. And then they're like, wait, what? That you live in a one bedroom?
I look forward to that. I look forward to someone taking a virtual tour online and then just print screening every room and every scene and having multiple ones. Like today, oh yeah, today I'm in the you see the bathroom in the back, the gold plated shower. Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But that would be fascinating, Rob. That would be definitely would be miles ahead of what Rebecca did with the photoshopped filters mm-hmm. and faces. I feel like there's so much more that could be done at that point.
Okay. Well, Puya, this was so much fun. Can't wait to be back next week to talk about it. We'll get more questions from the listeners now that we're rolling. Puya, what's next for you?
So I will be back talking about The Masked Singer this yes. week with Liana Boris. That's right. It is the sing-along spectacular episode, which is...
Oh,
that's right. It's their filler where they have some of the previous performances on screen with the words down karaoke style. Liana likes it, but there's usually not much meat yes. there to talk about.
I listened to the recap from last season.
Yeah, what we like to do is we kind of make it almost a Q&A. If you have any questions for us, just send them our way, whether it's in the thread or on Twitter, and we'll answer them, whether it's about the show or not about the show. Mm-hmm. We're very open to that. And other than that, Rob, I stream on Twitch 3 times a week, and I'll be occupied doing that as well throughout the week. And yeah, if there's any 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way content, you can look out for that as well. I'm leaning towards unlikely since we've started the week with no news. But yeah, your feed will let you know if it happens.
Okay. And that podcast feed again is robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. I like that you have banged the table. Yes. Affirmative.
Yeah, I tried to get a quick sip of water and then smash it on the table. It kind of came off gavelly, but it worked. Yeah. It worked very nice. Yes.
And we really appreciate your feedback and star ratings here at the start of the new season, because what that does is that it helps people, it helps bump up the podcast in the charts. And the reason why that's helpful is that when people are scrolling through the iTunes, the Spotify's, that they are able to see them like, oh, 90 Day Fiancé. Okay, let me check that out. I watched that show and let me find that podcast. And so that's helped more people find the show. So this was so much fun. Plenty of other fun stuff going on over at robhasawebsite.com. Got to also, speaking of things that are outside of my wheelhouse, got to talk to Brian Cohen and Ali Lasher over the weekend about getting set up for this new season of The Challenge. The Challenge 36 is going to be back. Natalie Anderson. By the way, when we kept talking about Mike and Natalie, that the stupid Survivor brain, it's like, oh yeah, those are back-to-back Survivor winners. Natalie yeah. and Mike. Both won Survivor in Nicaragua. We're going to see Natalie Anderson along with Jay Starrett, a bunch of people from Big Brother, over on The Challenge this season. So I got to talk about that. I picked some my guys and my gals for this season.
I'm intrigued. I haven't checked out the pod yet.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. This season's going to turn out to be really good, especially when we didn't expect to see it. You know, we've talked at the start of the show where not many shows are going to be around for a while. So when the challenge came up, definitely going to have eyes on it, mine included.
We had a wild time with Miles Nye on the tar pit, including the first ever podcast scavenger hunt that we've done. That got pretty heated. And then also talked to Mike Bloom and Shannon Gus over the weekend about, okay, Survivor's on Netflix. What are we doing for the people that just watched Survivor on Netflix and want more? We talked about how to help your new Survivor fan friends that are out there and what the best approach there. Shannon and Mike have two very different schools of thought of what to give your new Survivor fans in terms of how to raise a brand new Survivor fan. Check that out. Guiding new Survivor fans in the Netflix era. Plus, Akiva and myself talked about ways to punch up a whole bunch of different things with Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz on the most recent Renap. Plus, we got talking with T-Bird coming back again this week. Should be another good one. And much more over at robiswebsite.com. All right, Puya, this was so much fun. Thank you all so much for checking out our first time out here with me on the brand new Season 8 recap of 90 Day Fiancé. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.